I want to thank each and every one of you for attending our discussion today. My name is Michael Hernandez. I am the outgoing chair for the Community-Based Public Health Caucus. I am in New York City. I am a policy consultant who works primarily with communities in Harlem, the South Bronx, and Central Brooklyn. I don't think I need to tell you about the importance of collaboration and partnerships in affecting change in communities of need. Partnerships between government agencies, NGOs, as well as academic partners are all crucial, but the greatest partnership that you can always have is the partnerships that you have within the communities, because the community buy-in is important. Because as an academic or someone that may be transient coming in and out of the work of trying to affect change, well, I can tell you from my own standpoint, I worked at Columbia University, and when my funding left, my program sort of left, but I didn't. So it's very important to have the relationships with the communities, because that's where the sustainability happens, and that's where the work continues, and that's where the work needs to grow. So it's a matter of creating these relationships for the partnerships of the schools, as well as the community, and of course the organizations that can lend support, both in resources, money, and programs. So again, thank you very much. I'd like to also just give a quick plug that at the back on the table there are these little newsletters on the Community-Based Public Health Caucus. I encourage you to go ahead and grab one and find out a little bit more about us. To begin with, I'd like to welcome our first presenter. His name is Derek Brindisi. Derek is the Director of Public Health for the City of Worcester, Massachusetts, serving a population of 270,000 residents. Under Mr. Brindisi's leadership, the Worcester Division of Public Health has recently completed a CHA and a Community Health Improvement Plan, regionalized public health services, and he sees the PHAB accreditation. Mr. Brindisi is also a public health officer for the NH Air National Guard and has recently been appointed by Governor Patrick to serve on the Massachusetts Public Health Council. So please welcome Mr. Brindisi.
Good morning, everybody. Again, as Michael just alluded to, my name is Derek Brindisi. I'm the Director of Public Health for the City of Worcester, minus the H. So I'm here to just talk a little bit about some of the work that we've completed recently in the City of Worcester. In particular, we have Monica Lowell, who is the Vice President for UMass Memorial Healthcare, in the room, and Suzanne Cashman, who you also see up here, who works over at the medical school at the Department of Family and Preventive Medicine. So I thank them both for coming. Dr. Hirsch, Clara Savage, and Steve Radini were unable to attend today. So again, I want to talk a little bit about what brought us to our community health assessment, our community health improvement plan. And as you all can imagine, in 2009, the nation was facing severe and drastic cuts because of the economy. Our department in particular received a 75% budget cut at the local level. But our city manager looks at these issues as opportunities, and what he did is he convened what is known as the Public Health Task Force in 2009, which was chaired by UMass Memorial CEO John O'Brien and the other clinical partner at St. Vincent's Hospital, chaired by Dennis Irish. And they developed a series of recommendations. So they spent about 6 months looking at national best practices as to what we need to do locally, given the limited resources, but how can we create a 21st century health department, given the wealth of resources in the community and leveraging those resources. And that's really going to be the essence of my talk today about mobilizing community partnerships. So these are the series of recommendations that they suggested. One was to reconstitute the Board of Health at the DPH, regionalize public health services. In Massachusetts, we don't have county government, so we have 351 cities and towns, 351 boards of health, 351 fire chiefs, 351 police chiefs. And so the public health system is decentralized in Massachusetts. We have more boards of health in Massachusetts than they do in the state of Texas as a whole. So given that, regionalizing public health services was an absolute must. And then using data to drive our public health priorities, the city manager had suggested that our department was becoming a mile wide and an inch deep, and therefore wanting to use data to drive the work that we do moving forward. And then mobilize the community. The city of Worcester has a tremendous amount of resources, both in the healthcare setting and both in the academic setting. In particular, we have 10 colleges and universities. We have a two hospital system. We have two federally qualified health centers and dozens of community-based organizations that do a lot of the work that strengthen the public health system. So mobilizing community partners is a key to the work that we do at the city's DPH. And then lastly, seeking accreditation by 2015, public health accreditation by 2015 was the last goal. Aaron Cathcart's here from the department who leads that effort, and we're on pace to be the first health department in Massachusetts to be accredited, assuming we meet all those standards. So the process that we had undertaken was, as you all can imagine, was a national best practice and a standard that's being suggested. And it's mobilizing action through planning and partnerships. And again, so you see the diagram to the left. I mean, those are all the different assessments that we had undergone when we went through our community health assessment process. And again, as I just suggested earlier, we worked very closely with UMass Memorial, UMass Medical School, and many other partners in the community. In fact, I would argue, and you know, through my very short experience in this role, that when the city of Worcester gets together with UMass Memorial and with UMass Medical School, those three organizations, we can gain a lot of traction and we can get a lot of work. I would also argue that if one tries to do that by themselves, it becomes more difficult. And so my relationship with Monica and folks at medical school, Suzanne, has grown because of the community health assessment. And so for those of you that haven't done this yet, I would encourage you to reach out to those strong academic and clinical partners, because it will certainly make your work easier, and it helps galvanize a community and bring other organizations to the forefront. So the first thing we did is we convened, like I said earlier, those key community partners, but we also have local philanthropic foundations that were a part of our steering committee, key coalitions. Clara Savage, who I mentioned earlier, organizes our CHNA, and she's done a lot of work over the past decade mobilizing the community. And so we really had taken her lead on, you know, how we can connect those dots throughout the community and reach those populations that typically are underserved and we have difficulties reaching. So after we convened this steering committee, we looked at three main reports. One was the Health of Worcester report that was released in 2011, which focused primarily on premature death. And then also in 2011, we had conducted a youth survey. That was a youth survey of 8 different school districts in central Massachusetts, so we can get a better sense of what our youth were, what behaviors they were engaging in, and the things that were happening. And then Common Pathways got together with the folks at the medical school and at UMass, and they developed a supplemental report, which is based primarily on looking at the social determinants of health and morbidity. So we used those three reports to really be the foundation of to start our health assessment. So what else is missing? Engaging the community was key in this. We had a lot of data, we had a lot of quantitative data, but we didn't have much else. And so we took advantage of what was happening during the summer to gain that qualitative data. So the first thing we traditionally started to do was convene focus groups, because that's what people tell us to do, right? But we realized very quickly that that wasn't working. So we're calling meetings, asking individuals to come so we can report out on this great data that we have and learn more from them. Unfortunately, we weren't finding that we were getting very many community members and neighborhood members come out to hear this conversation. So what we did is we looked around us, and again, Worcester is very diverse. Over 80 different languages are spoken in the city of Worcester. And so we started to attend these cultural events that happened during the summer. So the Southeast Asian event, the Juneteenth Festival, which is an event for African Americans, the Latino Festival, and the list goes on. So we attended over a dozen or more events in the city, and then we attended a number of summer concert events in the communities contiguous to Worcester as well. We ended all of this with doing a Survey Monkey, which we had about 2,500 respondents to our Survey Monkey. And then we engaged Health Resources in Action, which is a local Boston firm that consults in public health, and they helped us conduct these key informant interviews. We looked at the data, both quantitative and qualitative. We had two strategic planning sessions. Over 125 community leaders attended. Over 90 organizations attended, where we presented our findings of the health assessment. And then we went through a priority setting process so we could look at what this data is telling us, what the people have told us, what they want to see, what health means to them, so that we could go ahead and identify five domains in which we develop a community health improvement plan. So as you can imagine, a lot of the things rose to the surface. I just want to point out one thing. We didn't want to call them priorities because we didn't want this perception of hierarchy that one issue means more than another issue. So we identified them as five domain areas in which we have chosen to work in. And as you can imagine, healthy eating and active living, behavioral health has two components to it, has a substance abuse and a mental health component to it. Access to primary care and wellness is the third issue. Violence and injury prevention was the fourth. And then lastly, I like to end by saying that the issue of health equity and health disparities, as we can all imagine, cuts through all of this work. And Health Resources in Action, they again helped us. They were the consultant. They helped facilitate this conversation during the six-month period. And they had done this in other communities down in Tampa, down in Houston, down in New Jersey. And they said to us that they, from their work, from their experience, that only Worcester found health equity as such an important issue that made it a standalone issue. All the other communities recognized it, and they ensured that it was going to happen in all the work that they do, but it was the advocates and the people in the room during those two strategic planning sessions that felt so strongly that we need to make this issue of health equity as one of the top five domain areas in which we work in. So moving forward, again, we have this great foundation in which we have a history now that we can work together. We've built these partnerships. Many of you have heard over the last couple of days the State Department of Public Health present on the Prevention and Wellness Trust Fund. We have recently gone through that process, which I can tell you is a very difficult process, trying to submit an application for the Prevention and Wellness Trust Fund, which could potentially bring $2.1 million to the city of Worcester to focus on prevention with the whole intention of reining in healthcare costs and demonstrating that investing in prevention and the returns on investment will far outweigh than just paying sick care. So again, the CHAR and the CHIP, I believe, was the foundation for the work that we're going to be doing moving forward with the Prevention and Wellness Trust Fund. And that being said, we still have a CHIP that we have to look at. We have 82 different strategies that were selected in the CHIP. We're working very closely with the medical school and Clark University on setting up a structure, infrastructure in which we can evaluate on an annual basis our CHIP, and so that we can do course corrections if necessary. And lastly, in 2017, we want to reassess where we are, and we want to do this health assessment and develop the second addition to the CHIP in 2017 so we can reach our 2020 mark. One thing I had failed to mention is that our overarching vision in the CHIP is to be the healthiest city in New England by 2020. So 2017 will be our midterm report in which we'll try to reach our 2020 vision. I'll end here. I have Monica here, again, from the clinical system who can help answer any questions on how we collaborated. And again, Suzanne's here as well, can speak certainly to the academic setting and how that the history of our work moving in the past and how we'll be moving forward. Thank you.